Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, it's Lean Keys, Real Talk, back with another episode, the UFC, basically UFC 2023 year in review show. We'll do 2023 year in review show. It really depends. I mean, there's many moments from the year, but mainly we're going to be doing UFC-based awards here for the most part. There may be some mentions of a couple other things that have happened, but regardless, we're going to get into it. Let me pull these up. 2 seconds. Let me pull these up. We got KO of the year. We got sub of the year, fighter of the year. We're going to do a women's fighter of the year because sometimes that category is like, you know, Valentina had great years. It was, you know, it was usually hard to, because like someone like that would deserve, not necessarily, I mean, in my opinion, not necessarily this year, but in previous years, or a Nunes would deserve that spot. And you kind of have, you kind of want to have two awards for it, you know, okay, be able to mention them, to mention, you know, you might, your fighter of the year might be a male fighter, so we're going to have two categories there. Let me just see. Let me pull up. We're going to go. There was something that, I know there was something that we wanted to finish up on, started this show. I don't remember what it was. Something that we were, I don't really know. Because I know the last couple of shows, we pretty much gave a couple of shows worth of content in the last 2 or 3. You know, we probably did like 5 or 6 shows worth of content in the last 2 or 3 shows. So we were ending up at the tail end a lot of times with, you know, more to get into, and then already having gone over time, not finishing it. But yeah, maybe Lee knows what we were gonna kick off with. I don't recall what it was. Lee, you remember what it was we were gonna kick off with from last time?
Actually, while you was talking, I went through the rundown from last week's show, and we went over everything. We reviewed 296. Mm-hmm. We talked about the fight announcements. We talked about Conor return. We talked about Michael Venom Page. We talked a little bit of boxing. Yeah, I think we hit our thing last week, bro.
Okay, no doubt. Well, whatever it was, maybe it comes back to us at some point. Maybe it doesn't. But either way, we got our awards. Let me pull these up. We got for our awards. Sorry, my bad, y'all. I'm a little bit all over the place right now. It's been a crazy day. All right, so we got KO of the year, submission of the year. I like to do, you know, you got to do both spots because, you know, I think everybody will probably have a knockout of the year. But that's not always necessarily the finish of the year. I know I have a submission of the year that I want to highlight. Pay-per-view of the year, and I said event of the year because you got to account for fight nights. You know, especially where this year I've been watching a lot of 2023. You know what I mean? I think I watched almost every single fight card in 2023 besides UFC 294, maybe, you know, one or two others. I'm not remembering, but I was watching a lot. So, which topic you want to? Which one do you want to start out first for our award?
Hey, man, let's go ahead and start with our pay-per-view or event of the year, bro. Let's do that one.
All right, we'll kick it off with pay-per-view of the year. And I'll go first with mine. So all right. My pay-per-view of the year, I'm going UFC 285, the Cyril Gane versus John Jones card. And I'll pull that up right now just in case anybody
forgot.
I'm about
to pull it out right now, too.
This card was insane. Like, this was such a and really what I went off of was just I went through the UFC's 2023 schedule for pay-per-views when I was trying to determine what my favorite was. And I knew off the rip the way that I felt that night. I remember being so happy with watching the card that night, and I had bets that night, and, you know, all together just feeling really good about it at the end of the night. Like, wow, that was like a really good card. And when I went to go look it up, damn, you had some great fights there. You, oh, my God, top to bottom, this card was crazy. You had Esteban Ribovic-Loic, I don't know how to pronounce that. Damon Blackshear versus Free Basharat, banger. Jessica Benny versus Tabitha Ritchie. Mano Martinez versus Cameron Simone or Cameron Simon, which was a banger. I remember that fight was very good. We had Ian Garry versus Song Kanan. That was on the early prelims. That's the early prelims card. Then the regular prelims card, we had Cody Garbrandt, Trevin Jones, Derek Brunson versus Dryce Duplessis, Viviana Rojo versus Amanda Ibas, my girl, and then Julian Marquez versus Marc-Andre Barrault. And then on the main card, we had Bo Nickel versus Jamie Pickett, Mateus Gamrot, Jalen Turner, Jeff Neal versus Shavkat, Bullet Valentina versus Alexis Grasso, and then finally John Jones versus Cyril Gane. Bro, that was a crazy card top to bottom. And I remember those fights delivered, too. It wasn't like, you know, a big hyped-up card that wasn't that good. That card was incredible. So, yeah, UFC 285, that's my pay-per-view of the year, 2023. How about yours?
Hey, man, it was funny because this finished second for me. Because this fight, this card had possibly the fight of the year candidate on it between Jeff Neal and Rotmanov. And then who would have ever guessed Jalen Turner would end the year KO and Bobby Green. And, you know, my man John Jones did what he did. But this actually finished second for me. For me, I went with UFC 290, man. You had Volkanovski taking on Yair Rodriguez. Yair was coming off the knockout of Emmett to win the interim belt. And then Volk took him on to unify the belts. And Volk dominated him like we all thought he would, finish him in the third round. And then you had possibly another fight of the year between Brandon Moreno and Alexander Potoha, which was basically a battle. Five-round battle for the flyweight championship. Both guys, you know, they end up going all in, man, and Pantoja ended up winning the belt that night. And then as much as I don't like this guy, Dan Hooker versus Jalen Turner, Hooker was fighting. He got his arm broke during that fight. And you know who he was in there. He was fighting with one arm, but he was in there doing the thing. And at the end of the night, Dan Hooker ended up winning the decision. And then we have probably maybe the shock of the night when Duplessis knocked out Robert Whittaker in round two to thrust himself into the title picture. Then we have Robbie Lawler and his career. By knocking out Nico Price in 38 seconds. Bo Nickel was also on that card. And then we had Denise Gomez winning in 20 seconds over the highly touted Yasmin Jirige. So, for me, man, it came out between 285, but I went with 290, definitely because of Moreno Pantoja, the Duplessis knockout, and, you know, Robbie Lawler last fight, man. That's what I went with, 290.
And it's funny you say that because that was originally my pick. And then I was like, wait a second. Because, like, when I thought pay-per-view of the year, that was the first one that came to mind. And a lot of times it's like the one that just pops right up when you think of, like, when you ask yourself a question is usually the one. But then I was like, nah. So I was like, I remember there was something else that was really good. And then that's when I scrolled back and I was like, what was early in the year? And that's when I remembered. I was like, yo, that one was awesome. So, yeah, it's a great pick. The next one here, I want to get into event of the year. So this one is overall. So UFC 285 for the pay-per-views was my favorite one. But my overall event of the year, I'm going with UFC Noche. In September, UFC Noche, which was Grasso versus Shevchenko 2, which is funny because that first fight was on my pay-per-view of the year. So Grasso versus Shevchenko 2, that UFC Noche, probably one of probably one of my favorite events I've ever watched. And I've watched that one by myself I was at Buffalo Wild Wings. I thought the rematch was great. You had Kevin Holland versus Jack Della Maddalena there. My boy Raul Rojas Jr. versus Terrence Mitchell there. Daniel Delhuber, Christos Giagos, Fernando Padilla versus Kyle Nelson. Lupe Godinez, who I'm going to be talking about in the next couple of awards. I'll just give that hint out right now. It was on the card. She had 4 wins in 2023, by the way. Roman Kopylov, definitely a beast. I think he's in middleweight. Yeah, Roman Kopylov is welterweight and middleweight is so good right now. But yeah, then you had Tracy Cortez versus Jasmine Deshuda-Vicious on that card. You had Dominic Reyes' brother, Alex Reyes, came back to fight versus Charlie Campbell. Josephine Nothing versus Marnik Mann and Edgar Sherrod. Oh, I think that one, did that one get canceled? Oh, that was a no contest. But yeah, overall, that card was epic. And don't get me wrong, I had to learn a lot of those names for the first time. Like, those were all fighters that were new to me, but just from having done, you know how I said, like, just from doing the digging for my research for the betting, I've come to learn a lot of the names. And you have to make a educated bet, you know, which is the way I like to play it. You know, you got to know who's who and what's going on. So, yeah, that card was one of those ones. And they pretty much, aside from it, they pretty much align all those cards. You know, when you have a certain area, like the cards in Canada or the cards in Mexico or wherever the card is, a lot of the times, not every time, but a lot of the times they like to align those cards with fighters from that area, from that region. And they definitely did that on that card. And it was just really cool to see, you know, it was a very, a lot of those fighters, you know, they came to fight and they showed out, you know, and it really, really was cool. And obviously I'm a big fan of Raul Rojas Jr. So, and he definitely cashed me a good bet that I had on him as well. So that was dope. Yeah. UFC Noche. That's my event of the year overall. What'd you think?
Mine was kind of tough to pick one, but I ended up going with UFC Fight Night Dern versus Hill, man. Mackenzie Dern taking on one of my favorite fighters, Angela Hill. I mean, Mackenzie definitely dominated her, but it was like the other fights that I like. You know, Edmund Shahbazyan taking on Anthony Hernandez, which Hernandez ended up pulling that fight out. Your girl was up there. Lupe Godinez was on that card. Joaquin Buckley was on that card. He ended up winning. And then Diego Ferreira versus Michael Johnson was also on that card, man. It was it was a nice little card, man. You know, it's a stacked card when Chase Hooper, who I really like, he was on the prelims, and he normally fights on the main card. And Ilir Latifi was also on the prelim card. So I went with UFC Fight Night, Mackenzie Dern versus Angela Hill, man, which is on May 20th. That's the one I went with for event of the year.
I mean, I'm looking at it right now, and I'm actually starting to remember. I really enjoyed this card as well. You did. Anthony Hernandez, Edmund Shahbazyan, Lupe Godinez is – shout out Lobo Gym. That's the same gym. Her and my boy Diego Lopez, they train at the same gym. That gym's on the come up. Lupe Godinez is excellent. Perfect style for the game. Joaquin Buckley fought on the card. Diego Ferreira fought Michael Johnson. Wow, yeah, I'm remembering this as I'm reading it. Natalia Silva, that's another name, women's flyweight, that's on the come up. She's a beast. Chase Hooper was there. Nascimento, the TP was there. Wow. Yeah, I remember watching this. That was a good one, too. Good pick. The next
one.
Yeah,
man, that Noche, that was like my third event. But, yeah, man, that Noche was a good one also.
That one, and the reason why the thing with that was so crazy is that, you know what it was, too? The way the UFC marketed it and the way that, like, everything was all propped up, like, I feel like it was so, it was so, like, cultural, you know. The card was very, like, you could tell that they wanted to make it. It just had a whole feel to it. I don't even know, like, how to perfectly describe it, but that card just, it had that pay-per-view feel, you know. That felt like a pay-per-view, and that's how I know it was my event of the year, because to me, it was better than all the pay-per-views of the year, but it also had that pay-per-view feel, and it was a fight night. That's how you know it was a damn good event. You know what I mean?
Yeah. On fight nights, you don't get title fights either, though.
Yeah, and we had a title fight, and it was a good one. It was a good title fight rematch, you know? It's not like it was a snooze. Those girls put up a lot of strikes. They went 5 rounds. It was a very close decision, controversial decision, and they fought to a draw, I'm pretty sure. And that was just a total banger.
From
the very first fight. From the very first fight of the night to the end, it was just such a good card. I think I swept like 5 parlays that night. I'm not going to lie to you. I think I had like an 8-pick parlay that I swept that 9-pick. It was crazy. Yeah, I was really going crazy. But so the next one I want to get to, though, because I could talk about UFC Noche for the whole show. So we got pay-per-view of the year. We got event of the year. Let's go back up to knockout of the year. We're going to go back up to the top, so knockout of the year. This one's easy for me. I did think it was funny, the other knockouts of the year that people tried to put out there to try to dim the shine of this one. But I'm going Israel Adesanya knocking out Pereira in the rematch, man. That's my KO of the year. There's nothing even close to it, because it was just – I don't think anybody expected that, you know. I don't think anyone thought that. I mean, I definitely thought Adesanya was going to lose the second time. I think a lot of people thought that. The odds thought that. And especially in that fashion. Like, if he was going to win, I didn't think he was going to flatline him inside 2 rounds the way that he did. Like, that was crazy. That was so crazy. Adesanya does that whole animation. He did the same thing that Pereira does when he comes in with the arrows. He did that whole thing basically, like, as if he was shooting arrows towards Pereira's, you know, unconscious body on the canvas. That was crazy. The whole thing was wild. So, yeah, I couldn't think of another KO that could possibly top that. That was insane.
Yeah, and I and a lot of people, if you don't remember that knockout, Izzy was actually taking damage. Pereira was actually starting to put it on him at the time. And he left himself open for 1 split second, and Izzy counted him and put him to sleep. But at the time of that knockout, it could have went either way, because the pressure Pereira was putting on Izzy. But that was my honorable mention. Man, great minds think alike. But my KO of the year goes to Carlos Ferreira, man, when he knocked out Michael Johnson. It was on UFC Fight Night, Durham versus Hill, round 2. Johnson, man, when Ferreira hit him, man, he was stiff, bro. I mean, his feet was like, he was stiff. I was just like, wow. And I'm a fan of Michael Johnson. But I think the best part of that knockout was not what happened during the knockout, it was what happened afterwards. Ferreira went down, and he lifted Michael Johnson's head to try to revive him. And, you know, man, instead of, like, trying to throw extra punches or anything like that, he went and tried to revive Michael Johnson, man. And that was great sportsmanship. But, man, that KO was vicious, bro. You know, I thought, you know, I was leaning towards Josh Emmett. You know, Emmett, his last fight, I was leaning towards his knockout. But once I looked at that Carlos Ferreira versus Michael Johnson, I had to go with Carlos Ferreira knocking out Michael Johnson, bro. It was such a good one.
Yeah, I actually just pulled it up on YouTube so I could watch it back, because, you know, you don't always remember until you play it back. That was crazy. Yeah, he knocked Michael Johnson out stiff. That was tough. I mean, the way he tried to lift him up, I mean, I can appreciate it, but he couldn't have possibly thought that Michael Johnson was even going to react. I mean, he literally knocked him out so crazy that Michael Johnson's legs were like in a pretzel, bro. Like, he literally looked like he was in a coffin. Like, you can't imagine that he was even going to react at all. But I do, yeah, I can appreciate that. And that was a vicious knockout, my goodness. And I want to point out, too, I'm pretty sure that Ferreira is fighting on Saturday. Let me see. Pretty sure he is. He's fighting, I think he's fighting Phil Hawes. Is that the same Ferreira that I'm?
Hold on, let me see.
Pretty sure that's the same Ferreira that I'm thinking of.
Oh, man, we do got a pay-per-view Saturday, don't we?
No, it's not a pay-per-view. It's just fight night. Ankalaev.
It's a fight night, yeah,
Walker
okay.
Too. But, yeah, I think he's on that card versus Phil Hawes. Unless it's a different guy. Oh, no. Yeah, okay, so I'm thinking of Bruno Ferreira is fighting Phil Hawes.
Yeah, he fights Phil Hawes, yeah.
Yeah, you're looking at this is the other Ferreira, so that's cool. Carlos, whoever I'm getting all confused. Whoever I'm talking about on Saturday is a beast, too. But,
Oh, Phil Hawes could have been knocked out of the year, too, because he got knocked out by, was it Askarov or Dolidze? Man, he got slept too this year.
Damn. Yeah, we might have to do a new category next year for who got KO'd the worst of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, who got slept the most? That slept the sleep of the year, the nap of the year.
Man.
You know what I mean?
Night.
Yeah, exactly. So, next one, submission of the year. This is another easy one for me, but I'm going to have an honorable mention, too. So, the submission of the year, to me, there's no bigger submission than Alexa Grasso submitting Bullet Valentina in one of the biggest upsets in UFC history, especially the way she did it was so impressive, man. The way that Valentina, if I remember correctly, Valentina was in the middle of throwing a spinning back fist at Grasso, and she, like, basically, like, got under it and, like, took Valentina's back, like, at the same time or something like that. And then I think she, like, I don't know if she, like, single-legged her and, like, pulled her down. Or she like, jumped on her back, I'm pretty sure. Valentina did a spinning back fist. She, like, ducked the spinning back fist.
And missed.
She did. And then hops on her back and proceeds to choke out Bull and Valentina. And Valentina wasn't going to tap, but you could see, I remember feeling bad, like, but at the same time, the way Valentina, you know, spoke of it after the fight and her little attitude, that made me not feel bad as much because she acted like such a sore loser. It was like, oh, my goodness, like, didn't you just win, like, 12 straight title defenses and you finally lose? Now you want to act like that. But anyways, it was like a mark on Valentina's face from Grasso's grip, you know? And basically, like, pressing on her jaw, and it was scary. Like, you could see the imprint of, like, the, I don't know if it was from, like, the blood flow, but, like, you could see, like, an imprint on her face. It almost looked like Valentina had a tan line across her chin. That's what it looked like. If you got a tan line on like, your leg or something, like, it looked like that, but from Valentina's jawline up to, like, her nose, it was, like, this white imprint. And that must have been from her going, you know, maybe she went unconscious or whatever. But, yeah, that's my submission of the year because that was such a crazy, crazy thing to even happen. And then honorable mention, so Alexa Grasso. And then honorable mention is my boy Damone Blackshear. I think it was in August. I forget the guy's name he submitted, but he had gotten only the twister submission, only the third twister submission in UFC history. I want to say it was in August, and that was pretty dope. And yeah, I just had to have the honorable mention because he's another on the come up, slept on guy. So yeah, Alexa Grasso over Valentina and Damone Blackshear with a twister submission.
Yeah, man, I went back and watched the Grasso. She tried to do a spinning back kick, and as soon as she did it, Grasso position herself immediately to take her back, and it was over. As soon as she took her back, she she put in a triangle to her waist, and it was over, man. Very impressive, very impressive. My honorable mention, I had to show this guy some love, man, because this guy was very active this year. I went with Bobby Green on triangle and Tony Ferguson in round three at almost the five-minute mark. Great submission by Bobby Green. You know, I didn't think he had that in his game, but he showed me. He showed us that he could do that. So that was my honorable mention. And, man, the submission of the year has to be returning off of 3 years off, John Jones guillotine choke Cyril Gane in round one to win the heavyweight champ title. John had been saying all the time leading up to the fight that Cyril, that there was levels to this. And he was right, man. He wasn't scared of Gane's punches. You know, he even exchanged with him early. And then when John closed the distance on him, it was a wrap. And I remember even Keys coming on the show that Wednesday and saying, it's levels to this. And John Jones is one of them guys, man. But after 3 years off and you come in and submit Cyril Gane, who was probably one of the heavy, one of the hottest heavyweights in the game the last couple of years. Yeah, I'm going with John Jones over Cyril Gane, man.
Hey, and that was one that I really thought about, but I was like, you know, the ones that I wanted to talk about, I had to put above that. But that was definitely like, if we have like a moment of the year category, like, which actually wouldn't be a bad category to have. Like, I feel like that one would have fit perfectly into that for moment of the year.
We did have a moment of the year.
We had it in the past.
That's one of the ones you had on the that you wanted to talk about, moment of the year.
Oh, we do have moment. Okay, I must have. Okay. Okay, word. But, yeah, that one, I already put that out there. So, yeah, that one for, because I really, when I wrote mine down, I honestly didn't even have that in it. I must have texted that to you and then not remembered it when I was actually going through and getting my picks. But, yeah, that one could very well be moment of the year. There was a lot of moments in 2013. That one's got for me to even pick, because there was a lot of dope shit that happened. I mean, Sean O'Malley and Aljo is my boy. This is the Aljo fan club. But, like, Sean O'Malley walking out to Lupe Fiasco, superstar, at TD Garden and knocking out Aljamain Sterling inside two rounds in the second round. That was a big moment, you know. That was a big moment. As much as I didn't like it, that was a big moment, you know. There was a lot of big moments in 2023 for UFC. There was a lot of big moments. I mean, Sean Strickland dominating Israel Adesanya to take his belt in a huge upset. That's another one of the biggest upsets of all time, UFC history for sure. That was another big moment. It's like, oh, my goodness. So many crazy moments. I wouldn't even be able to pick moment of the year because there was just too many to choose. But, yeah, I definitely like, yeah, John Jones, yeah. And you see all the stuff they're saying now with John Jones, man. But I can't even give it any of my brain power, because that shit is just whatever, man. I don't even got the juice for that conversation, bro. You see what they're saying out there. You see it. John Jones is responding to a lot of it now because he just had, you know, one or two surgeries, and you know he's in recovery. I don't really know exactly where he's at, but he's been responding to a lot of the stuff. And you see, like, Luke Thomas, like, quoting John Jones' thing and saying all that. It's just like, I don't know, man. Sometimes I enjoy just stepping back and being the fan, you know what I'm saying, and not you know, not analyzing everything, you know what I'm saying? Kind of feels good.
Yeah, man. It's funny, man, because, you know, I've been watching the John Jones chatter, and John was talking about, you know, he earned the right to fight Stipe, and everybody talking about, you know, well, if you earn the right to fight Stipe, you should vacate the belt and stuff like that. And I'm sitting up here like, bruh, it's John Jones, man. If Aspinall wants to defend his interim heavyweight title, I'm quite sure the UFC ain't going to stop him. But, bro, what else you got to do? What fight outside of John Jones are you going to make more money? Man, just sit back and relax, bro. You're going to get your chance to get gapped. I'm quite sure John is going to fight Stipe, and he's going to fight you. And then I think he walks away from the sport. I did a collab article with a guy on the scrap, and basically that was one of my predictions, that John would beat Stipe, that he's going to beat Aspinall, and what would really make it perfect is if DC did his in-ring interview, and that's when he takes his gloves off, put him in the ring, and lays out a heavyweight belt, put it in the ring, and he walks away. So, people, just calm down, man. But my moment of the year, man, I'm going back to Grasso, man. My honorable mention was Sean Strickland dominating Izzy to win the middleweight title. That was my honorable mention. But I got to go with Grasso beating the unbeatable Bullet Shevchenko, man, to win the flyweight title, man. It was it flyweight or strawweight? Strawweight, wasn't it?
No, it was flyweight.
Flyweight, okay. Because, you know, man, it was just one of those things that when going into the fight, I think you picked Grasso to win, but the only reason you picked Grasso to win because you said you was tired of Shevchenko winning and you wanted to see somebody else win. But the way she won, she was actually dominating the fight. Shevchenko definitely, I ain't going to say didn't look like herself, but I think she didn't like herself because of what Grasso was doing to her. And Grasso backed it up in the second fight. Even though it was judged a draw, she proved that the first fight wasn't a fluke. So, hey, man, my moment of the year is Grasso, man, taking the flyweight belt off of Shevchenko.
Shout out to Alexa Grasso, man. That's my queen. That's our queen. If y'all don't want to acknowledge that. There's a lot of people out there that, you know, they like to acknowledge the quote-unquote royal family out in the UK. And when they refer to them, they say, oh, that's the queen. That's not my queen, man. Alexa Grasso is the queen. And know what? I would bend the knee to Alexa Grasso in much faster than I would ever bend the knee to that queen. You know what I mean? There's no queen, man. Alexa Grasso is our queen, man. You know what I'm saying? You know what she's like? She's like, I always think of Ariana Grande when I see her. She's like, if you made Ariana Grande and then put her in a blender with an MMA fighter, that becomes Alexa Grasso at that point, you know? And you really love to see it, you know? You love to see it. You love to see her thriving. And one thing that I would just say is that it does seem, I have seen some rumblings of that trilogy possibly happening at UFC 300. There's also been the talks of Zhang Wiley or Wiley Nurmagomedov, who came off an incredible performance, and that was in 2023 as well. So I'm not, you know, I gotta bring that up. Her win over Amanda, I think it was Amanda Lemos that she fought, completely dominated her. And yeah, her and Alexa Grasso have been talking about possibly fighting too. So hey, man, I would be cool with either one, but that's neither here nor there. Next topic, and the John Jones thing. I don't know, man. I think a lot of people got like a lot of time on their hands, and maybe got to spend a little bit less time on it and just let things play out, bro. You know, they always want to like control everything, and you know, you always want to have your voice be heard, and it's like, bro, just it is what it is. Like, it's John Jones, you know, he's that guy. And, yeah, I'm saying, you know, I'm not going to sit here and defend Stipe anymore. I said I'm done defending Stipe, and I'm not defending him now. But it's just it is what it is. Whatever they do, bro. It's like everybody wants to just cause a, you know, make a commotion about it. And it's like, man, I do think Tom Aspinall should fight for the belt now. The interim champ should fight for the belt. But whatever, bro. I mean, it is what it is. I got too much going on to even try to think about extra little conflicts that we want to bring up when it's just like, bro, we'll just watch the fights, man. We'll just watch them, and then whatever happens, happens. That's cool with me. But next one I want to get to is Male Fighter of the Year. This one, I kind of want to, like, pull up UFC.com for Male Fighter of the Year because I have two picks for this, but I don't know. I really wasn't crazy about either one of these picks. Like, I don't know. Like, they weren't exciting picks. Like, I was like, yeah, like, I guess he could be the Fighter of the Year. You know what I'm saying? But it didn't really feel good. I was like, nah, that pick doesn't excite me, man. That don't feel like the Fighter of the Year, you know?
But the reason why is because when you start looking at most of these fighters, most of them only fought two times. Some of them only fought once. It's like, yeah. I can't give you Fighter of the Year when you're active to me. I don't look at you fighting two times a year and making you my Fighter of the Year. Unless those two fights was, you know, if you had beat Charles Oliveira and Islam, you know, if you beat them two, yeah, I look at you as Fighter of the Year. Or you beat Max Holloway and, you know, Ilia Topuria. I'm like, okay, you know, you did something. But most of these guys, man, they only fought twice a year. Only person fought, you know, who had a super active year was Bobby Green, who, what, fought four times this year. So, yeah, man, I can see why it would have been hard to pick a male Fighter of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really – I'll tell you this. Now that I'm like, digging into it and I'm reading the rankings, like, I'm starting to see some of the names that make sense for this. I'm starting to see some potential here. And I think I'm going with neither one of my original picks. I'm changing up the pick here because neither one of those guys. And I'll tell you who I originally was thinking of. I was thinking of Islam, and I was thinking of Sean Strickland. Those are the two that I had in mind. But I don't know. Neither one of those really. I mean, it's like Islam. Like the first Volkanovski win, I give him credit. The second Volkanovski win was on 10 days notice. It's like, really? Like, that don't really get much stock to me. I mean, Volkanovski probably barely even got the train. You know what I'm saying? He was supposed to be fighting Oliveira. If he had beaten Volkanovski and then beaten Oliveira, I would look at it much better than what people say. It's like, oh, he beat Volkanovski twice. He was a pound number one. I'm like, bro, it's the second time he beat him on 10 days notice, bro. You're acting like that was full camp Volkanovski. Like, what are we talking about? That's not the same thing. Sorry, it's not. Like, first of all, and I just want to get this out there, Islam wouldn't even fight on 10 days notice. We know that.
Nope.
For a fact. Let's not even go in that direction, because that needs to be brought up when we come to this. They always say, oh, but he still beat Volkanovski. Okay. And so I can't even turn it on you and say, oh, well, would that be the same if Volkanovski, would you feel the same if Volkanovski beat Islam on 10 days notice? No, you wouldn't feel the same because you would say it was on 10 days notice. But we wouldn't even be able to say that because he would never fight on 10 days notice. Let's keep it a rack. He would never do that. So we can't even make that hypothetical because it wouldn't. It only can be a hypothetical because it would never happen. But the point is that 10 days notice for Volkanovski was BS. I was excited that they got a fight done, but we knew it was the wrong thing. And then we knew it was the wrong thing even more when Volkanovski got KO'd in the first round, and I don't even think that he's been KO'd before. I think he only got KO'd, like, before the UFC in, like, the middleweight division or something. You know what I'm saying? He hadn't been KO'd in, like, a long, long time. So we knew he was off. So I don't really care about that. Islam, yeah, but no at the same time. And then Sean Strickland, I mean, besides the Adesanya win, he fought some guy named Abus. It's like, what? Like, Abus? That's who you fought? Abus? That guy, come on, bro. Come on, bro. That guy had like one fight in the UFC. What are we doing here? So I thought Sean Strickland, but I can't just go off one win. You know what I mean? It was a big win, so I can't base it off one win, man. I can't get down with that. So what we're coming down to is this. We're coming down. Let me just look up one more thing. I just want to see one more thing before we finalize this here. Let me just see.
Well, Strickland did fight three times this year, though. He did fight
three
times.
Who did he
fight? He fought Adesanya. He fought Magomedov and Emavov.
Abus?
Yeah. Abus? So he did fight three times.
Abus, yeah, Emavov, that's true.
I don't even know who that is. But he did fight Emavov, too.
But that's the reason why it who cares about it. It's like, yo, he fought him, yeah. He was a hype train, but that guy had one fight in the UFC. UFC was just trying to fast-track that guy, Magomedov, and it's like when, yeah, you beat him, but it's like, I mean, realistically, you're supposed to beat him, though. Like, he has one fight in the UFC. It's like, I mean, I get it, but, like, nah. And then the Imavov, he beat two hype trains. Imavov was another hype train, and really, I thought Imavov would have beat him, and he beat him down. So he gets to the Imavov. I like that one, and I like the Adesanya, but still, I still can't get down with it. You know what I mean? I still can't get down with it. And I'm going to name off two people right now for my male fighter of the year. I haven't been able to look over the entire thing, but I'm going to tell you two right now that I think make a very fair case. And then I have two women that I think make a very fair case. And these women, it kind of stems from what they did in 2022 a little bit as well, or late 2022 going into 2023. So for my two males of the year, I'm going, and this is a shocker because I you see me hating on this guy a lot, but you know what? I got to give him credit, bro. Alex Baeta, you know, he fought three times this year. He gave... Alex Pajeda, he gave Adesanya the immediate rematch. Yeah, he got KO'd, but he turned right around and gave him the rematch. And then what'd he do after that? He decided, I'm going to move up to the 205-pound division. And that was an immediate turnaround. This is why he's the male fighter of the year. Look at this. These were immediate turnaround fights, if you look at it. He fought in April.
Yep.
He was fighting every 3-4 months. This was in April. Adesanya KO's him. Immediately goes into another fight camp to fight Jan Blachowicz, debatably the scariest guy at light heavyweight. Crazy power, especially given that you just got KO'd stiff by Adesanya. Now you're going to go fight one of the heaviest punchers in the UFC who could easily knock you out again, given that you didn't even take time to recover. You got flatlined by Adesanya, and then you went right into fight one of the heaviest punches in the game. That's crazy. That's some ballsy stuff. That's some crazy, crazy, savage shit. You know what I mean? That's why he's the guy. You know, and I gave him respect. And I was scared. I was like, how's he going to beat Blachowicz? You just got flatlined by Adesanya. Now he's going to go fight a guy that could easily knock him out again. His chin hasn't even recovered. He goes in there, beats Jan Blachowicz by split decision. And then what's he do after that? Another immediate turnaround to fight for the light heavyweight. I think it was the vacant light heavyweight title versus the returning Samurai Jack, Yuri Prochazka. The returning
Samurai Jack.
You know what I mean? And he beats Samurai Jack. He KOs him in the second round to win the light heavyweight title. So, come on. He went from the middleweight champion, lost the belt. Then he goes and fights the scariest guy at light heavyweight, beats him by decision. Then he goes and fights for the vacant light heavyweight title, beats Yuri, who was the champion before he got injured. So he went from being the middleweight champ, lost it, then fights his way. Even though they kind of fast-tracked him, he still did it, and he won. So he fought three times, 2-1 in 2023, and, you know, went from the middleweight bout to the light heavyweight bout, for better or worse. Alex Pereira. And then the second one that I got to bring out, I'm going to bring out a second one.
Hold on. Before you do your second one, let me do my first one just in case it's the same guy. My male fighter of the year. Keys, you will never guess this. And I dug deep for this. I went with Ian Machado Gary, man. 3-0 in 2023. UFC 285, he had a fourth round knockout. Hassan Kanan. Then at UFC Fight Night, he had a first round KO against Daniel Rodriguez. And then at UFC 292, probably the most dominating performance of the year against Neil Magny. Unanimous decision. And the scorecards read 30-26, 30-26, and 30-24. That's how he dominated a veteran like Neil Magny. And my whole thing when I was watching the fight, Neil Magny is a veteran, man. Normally guys that we don't think he's going to beat, he show up and put on a performance. But Neil Magny, man, I don't know how that guy was able to walk in that fight, after that fight, because the way Gary was chopping up that leg, it was just bad, man. But Magny did see the final bell. But I know he wish he hadn't, after seeing the most dominating scorecard probably in UFC history. I went with Ian Machado Gary, man. I just thought he was active, and he was dominating. Won't none of his fights ever kind of sort of in doubt, or you would say, oh, man, he was in trouble. Oh, if this would have went to scorecards, he may have lost. It was never like that, bro. So I gave him Ian Gary my male fight of the year.
Did you have a second one or an honorable mention?
Honorable mention was Leon Edwards, man. He beat Usman in the rematch. And then to come out and beat Colby Covington within the same year, that's a hell of a year, man. How many guys can say they beat the former champion who turned number one contender, and then you beat the next number one contender? So, yeah, man, I gave it to Leon Edwards as my honorable mention.
Hey, that's fair play with me. And my second one, I just posted them up on our page, by the way, our male fighters of the year. My second one, I'm going with another guy that went 3-0 in 2023. I'm going with Benoit Saint-Denis, man. Benoit Saint-Denis, the God of War, absolute savage. This dude came out of nowhere. I don't know where this guy came from, but he came out of nowhere. Four KOs, nine submissions. This guy, 13 fights, 13 finishes. He's only ever lost once by decision. 3-0 in on the year. When he first came out, him beating Ishmael Bonfim, which was I'm pretty sure he was a big underdog going into that fight versus Ishmael Bonfim. That was when the Bonfim brothers had just came on the scene, and they were just destroying people. And then Benoit Saint-Denis was the underdog, and he choked out Ishmael Bonfim first round submission. He fought Thiago Moises, second round TKO. And then most recently at Madison Square Garden, he fought Steamroller Matt Favola, who follows us on Twitter, by the way. Shout out Matt Favola, he's a real one. But fortunately but unfortunately, he head kicked KO'd Matt Favola in the very first round early into that fight to close out the year. So that's crazy. He Benoit Saint-Denis, 3-0, three finishes. And we did just see that he is fighting Dustin Poirier in a five round, I think, co-main event at UFC 299 in March, which is a crazy fight. Poirier versus Benoit Saint-Denis is absolutely insane. So, yeah, Benoit Saint-Denis, Alex Fajeda, my fighters of the year, Lee has Ian Garry and Leon Edwards. Maybe at some point in the near future, we'll get to see the two of your fighters of the year fight each other in the octagon. That I would like to see.
How you feel about Ian Garry?
I'm not mad at it. I was aware that he was winning in 2023, but I did kind of forget how many times that he had fought. So that was really my thing with that. But nah, I like it. I mean, I'm a fan of him. That's a good pick.
All right, man.
So here we go. We got the last couple. We got the last few. What happened? So I remember thinking in the beginning that we were really flying. I was like, damn, I got to slow it down. My women's fighter of the year, I have two, but I'm going to tell you right now, the first one is definitely Lupi Godinez, and just to let you know, I'm pretty sure she fought and has the most wins in 2023 of any fighter. I'm pretty sure she's the only fighter that went 4-0 in 2023. She fought four times.
Yeah, and she's probably the only woman that did that.
She fought four times in 7 months, bro.
See, that's crazy.
She fought four times in 7 months. She fought Cynthia Calvillo in early April, wins by split decision. Turns right around in May. She fought the next month, wins the unanimous decision. Turns right around again 2 months later. I'm pretty sure, this was at UFC Noche. She fought Elise Reed, second round submission. Turns right around again 2 months later to fight Tabitha Ritchie at MSG, wins by split decision. So the only fighter in the UFC, to my knowledge, to go 4-0 in 2023. Lupi Godinez is the one. She has the wrestling striking style that wins championships. That I've been saying for a while. That's the best style in the game, you know. She definitely has the skills to be a world champion for sure. Lupi slept on. There was a while where I didn't really, I was sleeping on her as well. But this year I woke up and I started doing the digging. I started my betting and I started looking into who is who and what was going on. And I started watching every card. I watched all those fights and I was like, yo, Lupi she's very good, very good. Definitely can be a world champion. Definitely a future world champion if she doesn't, you know, if there's no crazy injuries or, you know, anything like that. Lupi Godinez, and then honorable mention was Alexa Grasso.
Wow. My honorable mention was Jessa Andrade, man. She had five fights in 2023. Although she went 2-3 in those fights, her competition in those fights was she fought Mackenzie Dern. She fought Tatiana Suarez. She fought Yan Jinan. And she fought Blanchfield. And then the last fight was Lauren Murphy. And you know how I feel about Lauren Murphy. She just, you know, she can take some punishment, man, but she not that good. But I went with Jessica Andrade, man. You got five fights in 1 year. And, you know, and the level of competition that she fought, although she didn't have a winning record, I have to give my hats off to her for even, you know, taking those fights. And I want to say she fought in two different weight classes in 2023. So, she's my honorable mention. But my fighter of the year, female fighter of the year, man, I went with Alexa Grasso, man, 1-0-1 in 2023. She beat Valentina for the flyweight belt as a -730 underdog. And, you know, the rematch, she fought Valentina to a draw at UFC Noche. So being able to dethrone Valentina, who had been so dominant for so long, and then in the way she did it, and then to come back in the second fight and prove that it wasn't a fluky win, I had to get her the nod, bro.
Man. Yeah, wow. Andrade fought five times.
Okay. Yeah.
I know she lost like at least two or three of those.
Yeah, she lost three times.
Okay, so
I wanted to go Emmanuel Fierro or Aaron Blanchfield, But they just didn't fight enough, man. Yan Xianan didn't fight enough. Wally Zhang didn't fight enough. So, you know, I at least wanted to, you know, reward somebody that was active.
I'd say. And these are the ones. I feel like this is where it really works out, because we highlight the fighters that really were putting in work in the year. You know what I'm saying? And that's what needs to be put out there. And that's why, like, when I looked at the John Jones submission, and, you know, you look at that, it's like, I wouldn't want to give John Jones, like, a fighter of the year or anything like that, because, you know, I'm not saying you did, but, like, we want to credit the fighters that are really putting their work, especially where, like, that's what I value. It's like, all right, if you just fought, it's like a Bo Nickel. It's like, why does Bo Nickel seem to, like, fight once in a while? Like, that guy, I don't even think he's absorbed one punch, or maybe he's absorbed one punch in his UFC record so far. Like, why is he fighting, like, once every 8 months? You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. It's like, if you're that dominant that you're not even getting hit, or like a Khamzat Chimaev who's like not even getting, it's like, y'all should be fighting more, man. Like, you should be in our Fighters of the Year, you know, conversation, but you're not, because these pros just don't fight. So, it is what it is. But, yeah, so what was the last category I had?
We got two.
Is, oh, man, we got two. What's the other
we
one?
We got Fight of the Year and Finish of the Year.
I mean, that really comes down to just, I mean, we did KO of the Year and Sub of the Year. I mean, that's probably just me coming down to which one of those.
Okay.
That's the two. You know what I'm saying? That's me. I mean, that would be just me. That's what I would do. I would just pick between those two to which I would say is the overall. You know what I mean?
Well, I had a Finish of the Year, but it was just funny. I went with Dylan Danis' attempts to put a guillotine choke on Logan Paul to get disqualified.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was crazy. You know who was interesting too for Fighter of the Year? Did you see that? And honestly, I'm not mad at this. I'm not mad at this pick, but it definitely hit me from left field. I wasn't expecting it, but honestly, he's been putting in work too. I'm not mad. Do you see your boy Demetrius Johnson has Mike Perry as his Fighter of the Year?
Mike Perry has definitely been a star in bare knuckle fighting. He has definitely found a home, found a niche. He's the face of the company. And, bro, everybody they put in there against him, he puts work on them. He made the pretty boy quit. I can't think of his name right now. Luke Rockhold made him quit. They had to stop the fight against Eddie Alvarez because I guess he broke his orbital bone. So Mike Perry has definitely found a home in bare knuckle fighting, bro. Because he was terrible at MMA.
And then I love to see it, man. I love to see people go where he goes there and he's thriving and he's in his element and he's undefeated. Like, I think he's 3-0, maybe 4-0 and over there now. Like, that's fire. He beat MVP, he beat Luke Rockhold, he beat who the other guy was that he beat. You know what I mean? He beat Eddie Alvarez. I think he's 4-0 in BKSC now. Yeah. And he has a couple of former champions. So shout out to Mike Perry, bro. I like that Fighter of the Year pick. I'm really not mad at that. And honestly, we might talk about that more next week. I might want to look at that. The last thing, because for finish of the year, for me personally, I would just be picking between my KO of the Year and the Sub of the Year. Because I mean, those are my two. That's the two types of finishes. Those are my two. So I would feel like I should probably pick between them. But I'll probably say I won't even vote on that one because I already got, like, my two finishes. You know what I mean?
It was all good.
Fight
of the Year, bro.
That, the fight of the year. So,
definitely.
I mean, there's definitely some fights of the year that, like, fight of the year candidates that, like, that just haven't struck me. Like, I didn't go through all the highlight tapes. But this fight, bro, that I'm about to put out here, like, I feel like a lot of people would agree that this fight was insane. And, like, you gotta just, you gotta chalk it up to these ladies, man. This fight, and I feel like Lee gonna laugh at this one because I'm highlighting one of my own. You know what I mean? I'm highlighting one of my favorites. Irene Aldana versus Carol Rosa at UFC 296. That was a war, bro. I don't think we've seen anything like that this year. And you could say Volkanovski versus Islam was a great fight. That was a great fight. But it wasn't better than Aldana versus Rosa, man. There's no possible way. I mean, these girls weren't just, like, holding each other in body triangles and not landing damage. Like, that was what was happening in that fight. We didn't have that. Aldana versus Rosa. Aldana had 145 significant strikes landed. Carol Rosa had 204 significant strikes landed. And there was one total takedown that was shot in the whole fight. That was a stand-up banger, you know, for you could put any fight fan and have them watch, or someone who's not a fan yet, put that fight on, and they'll be a UFC fan by the end of it. That's the type of fight. Those are the ones. So, yeah, Irene Aldana, huge bounce back, classic, after losing to the champion. Irene Aldana versus Carol Rosa, man. And if you didn't see it, I think you got to go watch it.
All right, I'm going to start my honorable mention. My honorable mention was Jamahal Hill versus Glover Teixeira. And the only reason I picked this as my honorable mention because me and you were such Jamahal Hill fans, and it was good to see him come out and, you know, become light heavyweight champion. And in that fight, man, Glover Teixeira showed great heart and will. Glover actually hurt him in the fifth round, man. But, you know, he was in such a hole due to, you know, Jamahal Hill striking and defense, and he wasn't able to take Jamahal down, which is where I thought. If you watch Jamahal fight, that is the weakness in his game. It's his ground game. So, you know, that was my honorable mention fight because Jamahal Hill won the light heavyweight title, and me and Keith are just big fans of his. My fight of the year. I have to agree with my co-host. I went with Irene Aldana versus Carol Rosa, man. You know, in the first round, Carol Rosa came out with leg kicks. She applied a lot of pressure to Aldana. You know, in the second round, Aldana, you know, came out pressure, and a lot of volume. She had a lot of volume in the second round. And in the third round, man, both women battered and swollen. And, boy, they went at it, man, trading blows to the last bell. And if you want to really know how much of a banger fight this is, go check out their post-fight picture when they both in the hospital. This fight, actually, in my opinion, has replaced Wally Zhang versus Joanna. This is probably the best female fight in UFC history, bro. My fight of the year, Irene Aldana versus Carol Rosa.
And there you have it. We covered everything. I'm actually shocked that Irene Aldana. No, not that. I'm all messed up this time. Wow. I'm really shocked that you had picked the same one. You know, because we hadn't talked about it at all. We hadn't talked about it. I mean, we talked about which topics we might do, but we didn't say anything about who we had. I mean, I know last week's show I mentioned Damon Blackshear for that submission of the year, and I threw that hint out there, and, you know, I said I'd talk about Loopy earlier in the show, but we hadn't discussed who our picks were at all, and I'm definitely surprised that you had picked. I mean, I'm not surprised because to put any other fight in 2023 and try to say it was better than Aldana versus Carol Rosa is really tough. Like, to really pick out any fight, like, it would be tough to put that side by side and say another fight was better than that one. You know what I mean? And that's where I came in with that pick, was like, I don't think I can look at any fight and say it was better than that. You know what I mean? That fight was sick. You know what I mean? Like, I almost want to watch that again later tonight for the culture. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, man, you love to see it. You know, that you know, huge bounce-back win at Irene Aldana, where she was losing. I feel like she was losing earlier on in the fight. Comes back to win. Puts on, like you said, debatably the best women's fight ever. So, that's amazing. And I'm shocked that you would pick the same one. As much as it's not shocking to pick, I just didn't think we would have, like, you would have thought that too, you know? So that's fire, especially because you laughed when I said it. I didn't think that was because you had that one too. But, yeah, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, man, I was just like, it came down to three fights for me. It came down to Brandon Moreno versus Alexander Pantoja, which was a banger of a fight. I definitely love the Jamahal Hill fight, like I said, versus Glover. But in the end, man, Aldana versus Rosa, man, probably can – I mean, it's debatable which one is the best fight in UFC history between two females, this fight or Wally Jane versus Joanna won. So, yeah, man, it was actually I was definitely at first leaning towards Brandon Moreno, but in the end, man, I couldn't go against Aldana versus Rose.
Nah, that was the one. That was the one for sure, for sure. But, yeah, great show. 2023 year interview show. We got to it, you know, even though we got to it January 10th, you know, better late than never. We said we would do it. We got a little backed up with all the things we wanted to cover. So we you know, we went in and probably did like six shows worth of coverage in like three shows, you know, over the past couple weeks. And now we just hit our 2023 review show. So now we're all caught up and we're ready, which is perfect timing because next week we have the first pay-per-view of the year. So just in time for us to focus a show on UFC 2024 now, which is great. So I love it. That's all I got. Yeah, the floor is yours, bro.
Yeah, man. I just saw a tweet that Dana White, in 20 minutes, he will announce one of the title fights for UFC 300 and says tomorrow he will announce at least two more fights for the card for UFC 300. That was 2 minutes ago, so I guess we got some news coming. But also next week we got to talk about Poirier versus BSD and Francis Ngannou versus Anthony Joshua going down to March. So we got to talk about that next week also. But that being said, everybody, thanks for tuning in to Lee and Keys Real Talk UFC 2023 year review show. We'll be back next week, 8 o'clock, same time.